Well, the hunger strike by 27 refugees in Melbourne has now stretched into its second week. The 25 Sri Lankan Tamils and two Burmese Rohingyas have been refusing food since last Monday. They're protesting against their indefinite detention inside the Immigration Transit Accommodation Centre in the suburb of Broadmeadows. The men have all been found to be genuine refugees. But because each of them have been declared a security risk by ASIO, the government won't release them into the community. The Prime Minister told us on breakfast yesterday that this hunger strike won't force any change of policy.
What we do is we have proper assessments to see who has a genuine refugee claim and who does not.
And these people have been assessed as genuine refugees.
And we have proper assessments on security grounds too. Both of them need to be done. Both of them need to be abided by. And you do not change your circumstance as an asylum seeker or a refugee with an adverse security assessment through hunger striking.
But these people are locked up for 3 years.
Fran, we've got duties and obligations to the nation here in terms of properly assessing who's a refugee and making appropriate security assessments.
The Prime Minister speaking on this program yesterday. Well, the Human Rights Commission has concerns about the prolonged and indefinite detention of these refugees who've all been locked up for more than 3 years, and there must be said with little prospect of release. Gillian Triggs is the President of the Commission. Gillian Triggs, welcome back to RM Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Now, these people, they're refugees. They've been assessed as refugees, and they're stuck here in a legal black hole. They can't come and live in Australia because they have a negative ASIO security assessment. They can't go home because they're refugees, and they've been classified as genuine refugees, and no third country presumably would take them with this negative security assessment. What's to happen? What should happen with them?
Well, we're arguing that, firstly, detention in this without end and without access to a proper review, without access to the reasons for their ASIO assessments and no ability to challenge it because they don't know the underlying reasons for it, means that this is in breach of principles of basic human rights law against arbitrary detention. We're arguing that the government might seriously consider examining alternatives to mandatory detention for a start. They could be subject to conditions, various travel restrictions and so on, but nonetheless allow them into the community so that they can lead some kind of a life. As you say, the critical problem here is that they're refugees and no other country will take them with a negative Australian security assessment. So we would like to see some alternatives being examined in terms of community release on strict conditions if necessary. But beyond that, I think we'd really like to see a proper review process where the individuals concerned can know the charges or the allegations made against them and have an opportunity properly to respond to them in a way that meets basic due process requirements.
So there's two issues here: how to manage these people who are stuck in this, as I say, a legal black hole, and the review process. If we look at the management, what do other countries do? What happens in Britain? What happens in New Zealand or Canada?
Well, those are very interesting examples because they're ones where people with negative security intelligence assessments have what is called a special advocate. And that advocate is able to appear on their behalf and to protect their interests before proper administrative tribunals. Now, the unusual aspect of Australia's processes is that the non-citizens, and these are non-citizens, or albeit refugees, do not have a right to appeal to the usual processes that are available through the Administrative Appeals Tribunal, and that means that they're completely cut out from any reasonable capacity to have judicial review.
But judicial review or not, if there is a negative ASIO security assessment, you could imagine a lot of people in the Australian community would want to make sure these people aren't a security risk. How do other countries manage these people if they're not in indefinite detention, which presumably is the end game here to prevent that happening? How do they manage them in the community?
Well, with all sorts of regulations and conditions for their release, and that is that they must appear before particular people, regulatory authorities and so on, maybe once a day, maybe once a week, maybe they're confined to a geographical area. In extreme cases, they might have an electronic device to monitor their movements. But there are alternatives, and among the, some of those that are detained in these circumstances, and I know because I've visited Villawood, are children, and that is even more distressing, where obviously the best interests of the children should be taken into some account. But we don't have a completely unrealistic sense of this. If there are genuine security concerns, obviously the government has an entirely proper interest in protecting Australia's national security. But we would like, instead of a blanket rule, we would like and believe it to be a matter of international law, that the government assess individuals according to their particular evidence against them and their particular circumstances, and then make determinations as to what happens to them, rather than what we currently have, which is a blanket rule that all those with negative assessments must be detained mandatorily. That means, in effect, as you quite properly pointed out, an absolute black hole in terms of their futures, and that is where we're leading or seeing mental distress, depression, and other actions to try to deal with what appears to be an insupportable situation.
Well, to be clear here, and just finally on this, it suggests that people will be just remain in detention forevermore because there is no way to move here.
That is exactly where we are at the moment. I cannot believe that this will be the position forever, but nonetheless, in the current position, it seems extremely difficult for the government to move on this matter. We hope that possibly some change can occur after the review by the Federal Court Judge Margaret Stone. Her recommendations could have an impact. Her recommendations are just that. They are not enforceable. They're not binding on anybody. But nonetheless, I would think that her very considered view as to the strength of the evidence could have some impact on government policy in the future.
And just finally, Professor Triggs, when we last spoke, you were hoping to visit Nauru to look at conditions there. Last month, you received advice from the Solicitor General. You don't have jurisdiction in Nauru or Manus Island. Do you accept that legal advice? Is it good enough for the Human Rights Commissioner to not be allowed to influence Australia's policies and the way they're implemented offshore?
Well, can I say first that it's absolutely usual for legislation not to have an extraterritorial effect. In other words, I think any Australian will be quite surprised to hear that I was able to exercise my jurisdiction in another sovereign state.
And, Professor, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we've only got 30 seconds to the news. Sorry.
So the answer is that I will not be going, but I am considering the complaints from Nauru and Manus Island in a normal course of events.
All right, Gillian Triggs, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast. Gillian Triggs is the President of the Australian Human Rights Commission, and the latest in terms of the hunger strike now in its second week there in Melbourne is that another refugee was taken to hospital last night. So there's four people who have been hospitalised now. They don't remain in hospital. One of them is, but that's the latest from those strikes.